you may have imagined by now from the scripture reading that we are talking about the crucifixion. But before we get into the message, I just want to welcome all our listeners from around the world. When I get a report on Sabbath from our AV director, it tells us where you're listening from. And we're joined by people in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, in Barbados, in St. Lucia, in South American Guyana. I think I may have something to do with that. And from all over the United States, sometimes from Japan, New Zealand, people are listening, and I'm particularly overjoyed for the opportunity to share this word in this place. We want to thank our members from the ECOS Church that regularly tune in so that they can be a part of the service also. Today, I want to speak on the subject, dying on a patibulum. You can say it with me, four-syllable word, patibulum. Now, just so you don't get confused, we know it's not Easter. And sometimes we believe that certain passages of Scripture should only be there at Easter time or Christmas. We seldom hear of the birth story any other time of the year than at Christmas time. But it's a story that can be told throughout the year. So we're not having an Easter service, but we want to talk about this, which comes to us from Luke 23, verse 32 through 43. And I will share this scripture again so that we can get ourselves prepared for the Word of God. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, another word for Calvary, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, hey, save yourself." There was also a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when thou come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today," watch the comma, your Bibles may have it afterwards, "I tell you today, on this day, you will be with me in paradise. Some, when they read that, they conclude erroneously that the man went to heaven that day. Jesus saying, today's the day I'm telling you that when I come back, you will be with me in paradise. Father in heaven, as we open your word today, feed us. In Jesus' name, let the saints say amen. Maybe in your home, you may have someone visiting with you, staying in your house, eating your food, enjoying your AC and your bed, but that person may not want to worship. But when that person hears you say amen, they may be, that individual may be encouraged to come out and see, what are you so excited about? Well, every time the word of God is preached and somebody can say amen, we ought to be excited. Ought to be excited. Amen. This story today is about three men. Three different men. One man, according to the story, is dying in his sins. Dying in his sins. The other man, the one who asks Jesus to remember him, is dying to his sins. The third one, Jesus, is dying for sin. Three men. Today, I want to bring 3 points for this message. Dying on a patibulum. Dying on a patibulum. The very first thing I want us to appreciate about these two criminals is that they were in a hopeless situation. My question to you today is, have you ever found yourself in a hopeless situation? Some of you may have to reach far back to get the answer, but some, it may be recent. But the experience of a hopeless situation is one that says, I see nowhere out. I remember the children of Israel fleeing from Goshen, Egypt, making their way to the promised land, getting to the Red Sea, and they found themselves in a hopeless situation. Pharaoh and his army were behind them. They couldn't turn back. That road was blocked. On either side of them were mountains that they could not climb, and before them was the Red Sea. Well, it's important that we appreciate how it feels to be boxed in. It seems hopeless. These two men found themselves in a hopeless situation. One version refers to them as malefactors or evildoers. Matthew calls them thieves. So they were also known as blasphemers. Blasphemers, why? Why would you say they were blasphemers? Matthew 27:39 says, those who passed by hurled, H-U-R-L-E-D, insults at him, shaking their heads. The same Matthew 27:44 says, and you may have read this before, but you quickly ran past it. It says, in the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults upon him. Just stop for a moment. Think about what I just said. These thieves joined the crowd in mocking Jesus, insulting him. And if we find ourselves in the place of mocking Jesus, that's blasphemy. So they were not only thieves, but they had blasphemed the name of God. They were sentenced to die by crucifixion. And so they were placed on this platibium, crossbeam is just a synonym for the word platibium, bulum, platibulum, four syllables. Crossbeam. You may have seen paintings of Jesus and Simon of Cyrene carrying a cross. Those paintings are inaccurate because the crucified, the condemned, only had to carry the cross beam. The stipe, which is referred to as the upper or the vertical pole, was always in the ground. And the folk there found how to economize. That would be used for other people. On the platibulum, they had a notch. And the notch used to fit right into that vertical stipe. So that the thief would be carrying this heavy crossbeam. It was not something easy to carry. Crucifixion was not a good way to die. It was not a good way to die at all. As a matter of fact, let me take a moment to give some insight into how people were crucified. I am thankful that we no longer use crucifixion as a method to carry out executions. I'm not so sure we have these methods of frying people's brain is better. It's short. But being on a cross meant having your wrist, wasn't the palm of your hand, as you may see depicted in some paintings, because there are no bones strong in the palm of your hand to hold your hand from not being ripped right through. The spike of wrought iron was placed in a special place on the wrist. And the thief or the condemned hung on it. His feet were nailed, the left foot behind the right, and a wrought iron nail was driven through the instep or the arch of the foot into that vertical crossbeam known as a stipe. And here you had someone hanging. The literature says that sometimes it took people days to die. It was a cruel death. What's the most important thing to live? It's breathing. But your arms are outstretched on a cross, very little wiggle room, and your feet are nailed. To breathe, you had to utilize the pectoral muscles of the chest and the intercostal muscles so that you can take in a breath. And each time the criminal or the condemned did that, It was painful. Pain was shooting up to the brain. Some wish they die early, but sometimes death came very slowly. Once a patibulum was placed on your shoulder, it's over for you. There were no last minute appeals. We live in a society here in the United States where a condemned prisoner would be sent to death row, and that person may be there sometimes as long as 20 years. Appeal, 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 until finally there may be an execution, or some may have a sentence commuted or reduced to life imprisonment. But once you have had that cross beam placed upon you, there was no escaping. As Isaac so well in his reading today shared with us, that the crowd called out for a convict, Barabbas, give us that man. Your time to be free is not after that crossbeam was placed upon you. Now, I don't know about you, but as a child, sometimes my mother would say, go get the wild cane, a little bamboo stick. Eric, I think you call that a switch. And there may be some pleading. And sometimes you may be so good at pleading that you don't get a whooping. So you may escape the switch. But once this patibulum was put on you, you could not escape it. You hung on it until you died. So you find yourself in a hopeless situation. In a hopeless situation, you're saying, I can't do anything about my situation. And so here are two thieves in a hopeless situation, both of them guilty for the crimes of which they were charged, both of them guilty for blaspheming the name of Christ. But one thief, and listen to me, my friends, you may be in a hopeless situation, but it is never too late to make an honest supplication. So we had one guy saying, hey, if you think and you believe you're all that, save yourself, come down and save us too. The other guy who had joined in with the insults, somewhere during the time on the cross, he listened to the Spirit. There is something about God that if we go down, it would not be because God was not speaking to us. It would be because we chose not to listen. Pilate came out, washed his hands. I find no fault in this man, yet he had him flogged. Pilate's wife came to him. As she said, God spoke to her in a dream. And she went to her husband and said, don't do it. God never lets us go down without trying to get us to change our minds. So I would want to conclude today that both of these thieves were also exposed to the voice of God speaking. They were both in a situation, but only one made an honest supplication. Which one would you be today? Is your situation so hopeless that you can say like Lot's wife, curse God and die? Sometimes that's how we feel. God, I want to know where you are. God, I'm reaching out to you. You're not responding. Maybe I need to be like the first thief and simply not even ask you for any help, but insult you and tell you, if you are God, then save yourself and save me. My appeal to us today is that no situation could be so hopeless that you cannot make an honest supplication to God. The text reminds us one of the criminals who hung there heard him. You the Messiah? Save us and save yourself. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. I did so in a prison for 6 months in graduate school. It was not easy being in that jail. I would go in at 9, and I would come out at 5. I knew when I went in that it was only for the day. I knew that. Interestingly enough, I couldn't run to the store and come back. Once you locked in, you locked in. But every person I worked with in that prison was innocent. That's what they said. Everybody is innocent. No one says that they're being punished because they deserve to be punished. These two thieves were being crucified because of the lifestyle they chose. The Bible reminds us that the one who had listened to the voice of God said, but this man has nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And upon saying that, he then reached out to Jesus and said, Jesus, please remember me when you come in your kingdom. Here again, two men in the same hopeless situation, but only one man listened to the voice of God. And I know that because the word tells us that no man can come unless the Spirit draws him. So the Spirit is speaking. Two men in a hopeless situation, but only one making an honest supplication. What is your situation today? Do you deem it to be so hopeless that you can't even cry out and say, God, help me? This thief who made the honest supplication recognized his hopeless estate, and he was able to do something about it. Well, Proverbs 28:14 tells us, blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. Let me just pause for a moment. Two men, this text represents both of them. Proverbs 28:14. One guy trembles before God. But remember, he was not always trembling before God because he was hurling insults. That tells me that even when I have a rough start and I fail to recognize who God is, it's not too late to stop, listen, and turn around. The other man hardened his heart, and he was in a whole lot of trouble. There are two things that are important to salvation. One is the confession of sins. 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sins before me, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the first thing was confession. And this thief who asked Jesus to remember him, he was confessing because he says, "I'm getting what I deserve." Ladies and gentlemen, some of us find it hard to get to a place where we tell ourselves what we're experiencing, we deserve it. Because the way our mind works is to simply blame someone else for the predicament we find ourselves in. Let me say, not every predicament you find yourself in was caused by you. Innocent people in prison. There are indeed people who are suffering for things they have not done. But I think when things are happening to us, before our first position is to simply blame someone else, let's ask, is it I? Is it I? And if it is me, then I need to follow the advice of John. That's confess my sin, knowing fully well, and I love this, that when we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are working with the understanding that our God is different from all other gods. Our God is faithful. That means that he never betrays, he never leaves us alone, and he honors what we say. Second condition is to understand who Jesus is. Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So if you find yourself in a hopeless situation, the first thing is to confess. And the second thing, recognize who Jesus is. Now, this is rather profound. What Paul says in Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth. That means the declaration as to who Jesus is shouldn't come from somebody else for you. You have to declare. You saying it's personal. God is Lord of my life. And Paul says, and you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. Hold for a moment. This was on the cross with Jesus. And as far as the Bible states it, we have no record of Jesus coming down from the cross or being raised. So this man had something to say, "Oh yes, I see him going up." This man made the declaration when Jesus was dying beside him. You may think that a simple thing, but that's a lot of faith. To declare that Jesus is Lord, you know who he is when he's right beside you dying. We now have the benefit of a resurrection. We now have the benefit of angels saying to these two men, "Why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that you see going to heaven will likewise come again." We have the benefit that he has already been resurrected and is right now ministering in the heavenly sanctuary for us. We have that benefit. This thief did not have that benefit, and he declared that Jesus was Lord. That declaration must come from all of us. Confession and declaration. It doesn't matter the mayor and the meter maid are in the same boat. The movie star and the street walker are in the same boat. The policeman and the pimp are in the same boat. The surgeon and the sick are in the same boat. I'm saying, it comes to salvation, we're all in the same boat. The minister and the malefactor are in the same boat. The prosecutor and the prisoner are in the same boat. The jailed and the jailer are in the same boat. So this morning, don't pat yourself and say, I am not like them. I don't need what they need. We all need salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ. I love the God I serve. I love him because he reminds us that in this world where we live, we like to see ourselves as better than with our petty, insignificant differences. I'm a banker, and you just a baker. What can you do for me? I am an evangelist, and you're just one who studies ecology. God says, all men need the same thing when it comes to salvation. His name is Jesus, Jesus. So if you find yourself in a hopeless situation, my appeal is that you make an honest supplication. And if you're going to make an honest supplication, then you must confess that you're a sinner, and you must declare that you know who God is. That is what the thief who asked for salvation did. In his hopeless situation, he makes honest supplication. Third and final point. It's one thing to make an appeal to somebody. It's another thing to make an appeal to your hero, your savior. Honest supplication leads to appeal to your hero, who is also your savior. John 19:32 tells us, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. You may want to know why this is significant. They were trying, and this is so ironic. When you read the story, it has to get to you. Jesus was brought up on trumped up charges by religious people. People who believed in the commandments, but they seemed to forget the commandment that says, thou shalt not lie. And they embrace, like some of us do, the commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou work and do all thy work, rest and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. They remember that commandment, and so they wanted Jesus to die before the sunset. So the soldiers understood who really were killing Jesus. And so they broke the legs, because when the legs are broken, carbon dioxide builds up to such an extent breathing is no longer possible because of the muscles not working as they should, and one dies rather quickly. And they're saying, hasten this thing. Let's get it over with before the sun sets on Friday. Amazing, isn't it? The Bible says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he said true, that he might believe. That is to say, the word says that Jesus would have nothing broken in his body. But I want us to appreciate that which may have gone by you quickly. What may have gone by you is the fact that Jesus was already dead. Question. Some commentators say that Jesus suffered the same death like these two malefactors. That's what they say. But I like what my favorite author, Ellen G. White, says. In the book, Desire of Ages, she makes the point that these two men, listen to me carefully, these two men were dying for their own crimes. They were dying to death just for themselves. And in so doing, they were still alive, but Jesus, who was dying for everybody else, in other words, Jesus was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. So he died first. When they came to Jesus, he was already dead. He was dead. They were not. They were in agony, and they would have suffered more, but by the breaking of their legs. And when the soldiers came to Jesus to do the same, they simply said, well, he's gone already. That's what the weight of sin did to my Jesus. So every time I do something, I am reminded of what that does to Jesus, the weight of the whole world. So here we are, sometimes finding ourselves in hopeless situations. Some of them we may have put ourselves in. Some of them not because of our own doing. But whatever the situation, we can be like the first thief who said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. That's what he said to Jesus. The other guy said, hey, save yourself and save me. We're going to listen to a song after I'm finished praying. But I want you to focus on this. Two men doing the same thing, committing the same crimes, dying the same death for their crimes. But one listened to the voice of God and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest. Is it possible that where you live, in your household even now, that one person is demonstrating the second thesis, honest supplication, while the first person is going in a direction not of God? Two people can have the same experience, but may not have the same outcome. In this case, they were both crucified, but one awaits the resurrection. So, what is your patibulum? What is the cross beam that is being placed on your shoulder? Whatever it is, if you're groaning under the weight, I want you to say, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. You do not have to die on that cross beam. Spikes don't need to go into your wrists and feet. You do not need to labor to breathe, because unlike one who said, save yourself and save us, we can be like the other who, in his hopeless situation, made honest supplication and appealed to his hero, his Savior. Father in heaven, very so often we find ourselves maybe being crucified, maybe because of our own doing, but yet we do not make honest supplication and we do not appeal to our hero, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So now today, Father, may we carry the cross you've given us to bear, knowing that we're not walking alone. Maybe it's a cross like Paul, who said he had a thorn in the side, in the flesh, and he asked you three times to take it away, but you did not. You said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So today, as we conclude this message, I just want you to prayerfully remember to make that call. Lord, remember me.